By now, I believe every one of us should know the importance of the leaders in any congregation of God. You will see that in many of the indictments pronounced by the Lord, the chief of these indictments were actually directed to the leaders. And why were the majority of the indictments first directed to the leaders? Well, it was because when the leaders fail the Lord, it can lead to the death of a congregation. And if we are still not impressed by the importance of leaders, let us now look at a very classic chapter of negligent leaders in Jeremiah chapter 23. So let us turn to Jeremiah chapter 23. And verses 1 to 4. And here God's word says, right, Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 1 to 4. One there. Good. Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 1 to 4. And here God says, "Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord." And here the word pastors, right, can also be rendered as shepherds. I guess the basic meaning of the word pastor, a shepherd. And here, woe is being pronounced to them. Because instead of, like, what's the function of a shepherd? Function of a shepherd is to look after the sheep. But instead of looking after the sheep, they destroy the sheep and they scatter the sheep. And here in verse 2, and moreover, this is a very serious charge for these pastors, because the sheep whom they scattered actually belongeth to who? Does it belong to the shepherd? It does not belong to the shepherd. Because the shepherd is actually an under-shepherd. The sheep here belongeth to God. Because it's the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. So this is something that every church leader must remember. When you are called to by the Lord to be a leader in the church, you must remember that the church does not belong to you. The church belongeth to God. The people does not belong to you. The people belongeth to God. And so therefore you are not free to do whatever you want to the people, because they are not yours in the first place. If something belongs to you, you are free to do whatever you want to it. But it belongeth to someone else, and surely you are not free to do what you want to that particular thing. And so down here, what the pastors did was evil and wicked. And so to these negligent pastors, who are false pastors, God's word says, "Therefore thus saith the Lord God of Israel against the pastors that feed my people." But what have they been feeding? Must be poison, must be fluff, must be McDonald's. Right? McDonald's. You feed a bit of, you eat a bit of McDonald's, it's fine, and keep eating McDonald's every day of your life, what is going to happen to you? McDonald's tastes very nice, but you keep eating McDonald's every day, you keep drinking Coca-Cola every day, what will happen summer if you drink Coca-Cola every day? What did your daddy teach you? Is Coca-Cola good? I know she will say that. Is Coca-Cola good? No. But do you like to drink Coca-Cola? I do. How many of you here like to drink Coca-Cola? Quite a number. I know Elder John likes to drink Coca-Cola, right? How about you?
Sometimes.
Okay. So if I give you a can of Coca-Cola, you'll be very happy. I give you, keep giving you cans of Coca-Cola, you may be very happy with me, but is it good? What if the pastors be feeding? Cannot be just feeding what the people want. It must be feeding what the people need. What causes the people to have life, but that is not what they did. They gave them poison instead. And so you have driven my flock, you have scattered my flock, you have driven them away, and have not visited them. Right here, the word visited should be also understood in the sense of you have not paid attention to them, you have not cared for them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doings. And so there's a play of words here, because you have not visited my sheep, so I will visit you instead. And visit you with what? Visit you to judge you for the evil of your ways. And instead, I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries whither I have driven them. Right, so this is spoken to the false pastors. Well, you have caused my children to go into exile. Now, the remnant of them, one day I will bring them back, and I bring them again to their foes. They shall be fruitful and increase. And this time round, I will set up true pastors, true shepherds, faithful ones, who shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed. Neither shall they be lacking, save the Lord. And so you can see, right, you have negligent pastors, death. You have good shepherds, there will be life. And for the children of Israel, who are the shepherds? Well, you look at verse 11 of the same chapter. Right, you have two groups of people down here who are regarded as shepherds. Down here, verse 11, it says, well, for both prophets and priests are profane, yea, in my house have I found their wickedness, saith the Lord. So when you regard those who are pastors within the nation of Israel, there will be firstly the priests who are supposed to teach the word of God. Secondly, you have the prophets, right, who are supposed to foretell and foretell, be the spokesman for God. And usually they come when God's people have been derelict in their ways. So they will come to warn God's people, telling them about what will happen in the future if they disobey God. Why they should obey God? Well, because all these things have already been stated in God's word. You must follow. After that, if you do obey God, there will be comfort. Right? So that's what the prophets were supposed to do. But they instead declare falsehood. And lastly, right, besides the prophet, besides the priest, there will be the king. The king, in his examples, right, he must follow the word of God. That's the purpose for the king, to copy the law of God, actually. It's not just to copy as a form of routine. Right, is to copy the law of God so that he may set in his heart, so that as an example before the children of Israel, he may show them what it means to follow Jehovah. All three failed. And that's why Israel was in the state that she was. And so just like what has happened to Israel, similarly in the church, it is the same. And so today, when you talk about the leaders of the church, who are the leaders? Well, we are called the Bible Presbyterian Church. The reason why we are called the Bible Presbyterian Church is because, firstly, we follow the Bible. The Bible is very important, but not just Presbyterians. The reason why we are Presbyterians is because of the Bible. So, when we look at the Bible, what does the Bible teach, right, about the leadership of the church? It is ruled by presbyters, and the word presbyters here simply means ruled by elders. And how do we know, right, that we are to be ruled by elders? Right, turn to a few passages, right? Philippians chapter 1, verse 1. Verse 1. Philippians 1 verse 1. Here the word elders is rendered in this way. And here in Philippians 1 verse 1, God's word says, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. And here the word bishop is from the English word episcopos, or episcopal. And in English is sometimes rendered this way, episcopal, right? The Greek is episcopos. Scopos, right, from the word scope. Right, so you watch something, right? You know. And then epi, right, over. Right, so you watch over something, right, you are overseer. So an elder is an overseer, and joining hand in hand with the elders, you have a group of people called the deacons. And then, right, you look at Acts chapter 20 verse 28. Acts chapter 20 verse 28. And here, this word also has been rendered as overseers. Here, God's word says, Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost have made you overseers, right, to feed the church of God, which he have purchased with his own blood. Right, so, who was the Apostle Paul speaking to? Right, they are supposed to be overseers, right? Be episcopoi. Right, you look at verse 17 of the same chapter. And from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And here the word elders, right, in Acts chapter 20, verse 17. Right, it's where you get the English word for presbyter.
Just give me a moment. Better make sure I write correctly.
Presbyteros. So these are the elders, right? So the word presbyteros focuses on the honor of the office, and the word episcopal focus on the task, right, of people who are in this office. That is, you need to watch over the souls, right, of those who God has placed under your care. And that's why, right, in the church you realize that there is a rule by elders, right, plural. Like down here, for example, the elders in the church of Ephesus. Right, in the Philippian church, right, you had bishops, plural. And then when Titus was asked to go to the church at Crete, he was also asked to ordain elders. Right, Titus chapter 1 verse 5. Right. So yeah, Titus chapter 1 verse 5. And here in Titus chapter 1 verse 5, right, God's word says, right, Titus chapter 1 verse 5. And here Titus was called to be the pastor of the church at Crete. This was what he was asked to do. Right? For this cause, let I thee in Crete that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. Right, so elders were to be appointed, right, plural. Right, so it's not just one, it's a group of elders. And that's why, like, in Tabernacle PP Church, right, which is a Bible Presbyterian church, there is a board of elders too, right? We have two. Like, God willing, next time, we pray that we will have more. Right? There's a group of spiritually matured and qualified men, and also who has the call and the burden, right, to watch over the souls of God's people who are there in the board of elders. And being the board of elders, right, there are also a distinction, right, being the elders. Why is this distinction? Right, it turned to me to 2 Timothy. Sorry, not 2 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. And here, God's word says, right, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in word and doctrine. Right, so the word especially, right, tells us that among the elders, there are those who are also, like, given the task in terms of laboring in the word. Right, so all elders rule. Right. And they must rule, right, because they are supposed to be episcopoi. Right? They need to watch over the souls of men. Right? They must lead. But there are those who the Lord has specially called, right, to be involved in the ministry of the word. And so therefore, right, from here we see that there are ruling elders. Right, as well as teaching elders. And in today's context, right, the teaching elders, right, would be the pastor. Right? How do we know that? Right, you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. This was this spoken in the morning devotion? Or it's from 12, right? A bit 12. 4, 12 to 16. Right? You go from a bit 12 to 16. Right, so this verse 11 this time around. Right? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Here God's word says, and he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Now you look at verse 11, you realize that all these are those who have been charged by God to be involved in the ministry of the word, and they have been given the gift, right, to be able to minister in the word. So there are some who are called apostles, but no apostles today, right? Apostles will be those like Peter, like Paul, like John, like 12 apostles in total. And then there are some which are prophets. Today, no longer any need for prophets because we already have the more sure word of prophecy. But in those days when the canon was still being written, and there was still the requirement of some to be prophets. Right? There are some who are evangelists, and in today's context, like, this will be the missionaries, and that's why when you talk about ordination today, you realize that there are some that are ordained as pastors. I hope in the future, God willing, we will see those that will be ordained as missionaries. And so there are two. Right? I hope, God willing, next time at Tabernacle, we can see one. Pray for that person if you know who it is. Right? In God's timing, right? The person must be willing. So evangelists. And then, you know, and some pastors and teachers. Now you realize it's stated here as pastors and teachers. It's not some pastors, some teachers. Right? It's some pastors and teachers. And that is because, right, these two words, right, they are actually linked. Right? Pastors, teachers. And there are some who are called to be teachers, but when you talk about the pastor is supposed to be the chief teacher. A pastor teacher, that is what he is called to do. He can't pastor if he can't teach. And the main way he pastors is to teach. He is the teaching elder. And so therefore, right, the teaching elder, right, from the scripture we know, right, is the pastors. So this will be the leaders of the church, the board of elders. Then, together with the deacons, they will form the session. And what the deacons are supposed to do is, right, to be involved also with regards to the administration of the church, to assist the elders in the administration of the church. Now, in normal, usual Presbyterian church, you actually find that in the session of the church, the session of the church is actually the board of elders. And the BP church is unique. Right, the session of the church and the board of elders plus deacons. Presbyterian usually board of elders, which is the session, and then there's a court of deacons. Now, why this way in the Bible Presbyterian church? And the reason is this, right, because the board of elders shouldn't see themselves as a, you know, can serve without having the deacons to assist, right? As you can see, right, in the Philippian church, the bishops and deacons, right, they work together very closely. So therefore, in making of the decisions, right, it is actually wise, right, to be able to have the deacons to come in, right, to discuss these things with the elders, right, before the decisions can be formulated. But in the end, the responsibility of the decision lies in who? Who makes the decision and who will be responsible for the decision is the board of elders. So actually, the session of the church, especially in the BP context, should not really be considered as the decision-making body. It is not. The decision-making body actually is who? It's the board of elders. The deacons come in, they discuss, they work together. And this is very good because in the end, the elders should come from who? Future elders should come from where? From the deacons. Those are the deacons who are qualified, and then after that, you find among the deacons some who are apt to teach, and they are faithful, they are spiritually mature, and they also have the burden in terms of watching over the souls of men. Then after a period of time and observation, cannot be a novice, they can be installed as elders. So that is the basis of the Bible Presbyterian system, form of church governance, which is actually what you see right here in scriptures. So who are the leaders? Well, you have the elders and the deacons, but especially the elders, of which you realize that the pastor down here, in 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 17, it's supposed to say the double honor. Why double honor? Because double the burden. Double the burden, double the responsibility, rule and teach. And especially everything that happens regards to teaching in the church, in the end, if anything goes astray, the responsibility falls on the pastor. If there is false doctrine, the responsibility falls on this person. Because it means that he has not fed the church of God well. So, please understand this. Right? Firstly, who are the leaders? And then, with this in mind, right, now we look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. And 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 to 5, is a charge that is especially laid upon the pastor. And the pastor must know this. Any pastor. And if there are any down here who next time God will call to be a pastor, it is very important to set this in the heart. Because it is a serious responsibility. That's the first point that we must know. A serious responsibility. And you read that in verse 1. I charge thee. And here the word charge is not the usual word for command. It is the most forceful term of command that you can find in the Greek language. Official commission, of which if you do not discharge it, there will be serious consequences, not just for yourself, but down here it is especially impressed upon Timothy, the pastor of the church at Ephesus, that it is a matter of life and death. How do you know this? Because down here, Paul told Timothy, "And the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom." Hector, what is the meaning of quick down here? Are you a quick person? A bit. What do you mean by a bit? Sometimes. No. What do you mean by quick here? What do you say, sometimes you're quick, sometimes you're not quick? Fast. So sometimes you are a fast person, right? So are you fast in the 100 meter race? Think so. So down here, which one are you? Are you the quick and or the dead? You're the quick. You're quick because you're here about the quick because you are fast, right? Yes. That's why I asked you this question, Hector. Because here the word quick is actually not, the meaning is actually not fast. This is the usage during the time of the writing of the King James Bible. The word quick here means living, right? Between those who are alive and the dead, right? Just like the word quickening, right, that you see in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, right? The quickening of the person. The quickening of the person is not to make the person who is slow, cannot run, suddenly can run very fast, right? But you know, it's to make a person who is dead, right, become alive, right? Very much, right, in line with, right, very much in line with our theme, right? So we talk about dying church, right? We are talking about how to quicken a dying church. Now down here, it says that the Lord shall judge the quick and the dead. Now the quick here would mean that all those who are, of course, alive in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord will judge, right, during the Bema throne judgment. And the dead, right, the Lord will judge when? Right, during the great white throne judgment, right, Revelation chapter 20. So the Lord will be the judge over all. But why did the scriptures here purposely want to highlight this? The living and the dead. The Lord Jesus Christ, of course, he has power over the living and the dead, but it's really to impress upon Timothy's heart that this high office which he is now assuming affects the souls of men, and it is a matter of life and death. Well, the doctors will feel that oftentimes their task is a matter of life and death. In a way, it's very true. Esther has worked before at the emergency, right? Have you? Life and death. She has mentioned during the church camp, sometimes she wonders whether the decisions made will, whether or not how it will impact the life of people, because it can affect their life. Sometimes whether they live, sometimes whether they die. And even if they live, how will they be living? If that is true for a doctor, what more for the one who is charged to be a pastor? The lives of people are in your hands, Timothy. If you are therefore negligent in this task which you are given, people will die. The church will be a dying church. And if, Timothy, you have been called to a church that is dying, and you do not fulfill your task down here, there will be no chance that the church will be made alive. No chance at all. It doesn't mean that if a preacher is faithful in discharging his duty, pastor is faithful, it means necessary people, the congregation will be made alive. There is no guarantee. Yes, the word of God says, whatsoever go forth, the word of God go forth, will not return unto him void, and that is true. But if you look very carefully at the context, then you realize that it has to do that the word of God can give life, but the word of God that go forth can also be used as judgment, right, of the people who hear. So no matter what happens, the word of God will definitely fulfill its function. And many of the prophets, like even Jeremiah, they preach faithfully. That he was a pastor, yeah, because he was a prophet, right? So he preached faithfully. In the end, did the children of Israel listen? The answer was no. But did Jeremiah preach? Did Jeremiah prophesy? And prophesy everything that the Lord has laid upon his heart? Yes. Because he understood it is a matter of life and death, urgent task. And that's why you have to bear in mind that this is a serious responsibility. Right? No pastor, and by extension also any elder, because the elders are, if you're talking about a group of elders, written recently in the weekly, right, it's not just the pastor alone, right, it's the board of elders, everybody working hand in hand, right, as a team, coming together, so that the souls of God's people may be well looked after. And the decisions cannot be made flippantly. Because if it's made flippantly according to one's desires, one's whims and fancies, and it is the wrong decision, in the end, people die. So every decision must be made with prayer and cannot be made quickly. Sometimes we live in a society where, especially in Singapore, a lot of decisions like to be made quickly. Because instant noodle culture sometimes must wait upon the Lord's timing and must search the scriptures and make sure it's right before the decision can be made. Otherwise, people will die. And it must not also be according to the whims and fancies of the people. It must be according to God's word. It must be according to God's will. That's the first thing you must bear in mind, a serious responsibility. So, William, do you still want to continue studying in FEBC? Yes, even after this. You sure? Alright, good. Praise the Lord. That's why it's called a burden, you see. So, you talk about the burden of the pastor, the burden of the elder. The burden of the elder is also like this. So, wherever is the elder, now you know, right? Sometimes the elders can be there smiling, meeting, but you all must know what is exactly in the heart of those who are called, right, to be pastors, to be called to be elders. So that's the first point, right? A serious responsibility. Then from verse 2 onward, then verse 2 talks about the discharging of this responsibility. What exactly is this responsibility and how, right, he should discharge it. And so you realize that the chief, the main responsibility of the pastor is what? In this case, it's very clear in the scriptures. Preach the word. And here when we talk about preaching of the word, right, it's not just lecturing the word. Right, it's not a lecture. When you preach, it is a bold proclamation of the truth in the Spirit of God. In other words, the pastor himself must be first convicted of the truth, and then later on, with much prayer and with the reliance of the Spirit of God, he is to declare the truth to the hearers. And it must be the truth, because it's not just preach, be instant in season, out of season. Because if it's just preach, then he is free to speak anything. But here, the Bible says, preach the word. Remember, revival is of the Lord, right? Can you preach anything else and expect that to be life in God's people? Cannot. He must just preach whatsoever God says. And that is what he must do, preach. Right, you look all the way until verse 5, you realize it has all to do with the word. And that is what we must expect for a pastor. That is the chief thing that you must look in him. What is the picture of a pastor that is in your mind? You know, there was one time somebody who came and then sat down with me and says, oh, you know, a good pastor will, you know, should go and sit down with members at the swimming pool and be ready to participate in barbecue and to play the guitar. True account. I personally heard it. Can you find me a passage in the scripture where it says that? That is the duty of the pastor? Well, I'm very happy to do that. Like just like down here, when you ask me to eat roti prata beyond this morning, I'm very happy. This is the duty. Yes, in a way, it's the duty of the pastor in some sense, because to be able to sit down and interact with people and to eat and what, because that is the duty of all Christians, right? We are supposed to have fellowship one with another, and I hope by now, by this time round, you all should understand that the word fellowship has far deeper meaning than just eating roti prata together. It's not. Right? Our sharing, our concern for one another runs far deeper than this in God, Jesus Christ. That is not the main focus of a pastor. Please understand. Of course, given the opportunity, I would like to. There's nothing wrong with appearing occasionally and then sitting there to enjoy in the fellowship with God's people. Can the pastor play basketball with or captain's ball with the Shomerim and Ebenezer, of course. Especially if I do manage to discharge this duty here, preaching the word in this retreat, and then after that, if there's an opportunity to do so, and there's no other things to do, I will be very happy to do so. That is not the charge that has been laid on the pastor. He has to do something which others are not called to do. Ministry of the word, fully given unto it. He must make sure that this word must be made known to all. A matter of life or death, remember. And that's why he must be ready for it. Here God's word says, be instant in season. Here the word instant has the sense of being urgent and being ready, being prepared. Whether it is in convenient times or whether it is in very inconvenient times. Right? Inconvenient times could mean, well, sometimes, you know, these are not planned. Your urgent needs to go and preach to someone, and you are called. You have to go to preach. So, for example, you may be visiting a mission station, and then suddenly somebody says, can you give me a word from the scripture? Sorry, I cannot. It cannot be like this. Must always be ready to speak. If there's going to be an impromptu question and answer session right here in Shomerim camp, in Ebenezer camp, somebody come and ask a question and say, can you help me? I want to know this answer. Sorry, I cannot teach you. I need to go to sleep. Cannot also. Of course, if the pastor and time woman needs some time for research, you can say, I can go and research. But he cannot say, no, I don't want to teach. I don't want to preach. He cannot be. But our season here covers more than this. It covers the times where sometimes you know that when you preach the word, evil may come upon you. That there are itching ears that may be present, and the majority of it are itching ears. And very likely after you preach the word, there is going to be rejection of it, you still have to preach. Even if you know that within the congregation or within the fellowship group, there may be those who come in order to trap you with what you are going to preach, you still have to preach faithfully according to God's word. Just like in the second message I shared, just a very recent meeting, there are people who has not appeared in a particular fellowship group for so long, suddenly appeared to be there. Why? I simply to catch the speaker in the preaching to either trap the speaker or perhaps use what has been said of the speaker against their own pastor, which by this time they have already become very antagonistic against. So you know that such people come and you still have to preach. It's out of season. Still you have to preach. And the way you do it is this way. Reproof. Rebuke. These are two words of warning. So you see, must the pastor warn? Sometimes people say, it's the pastor, you cannot scold. You cannot warn. But what the gospel says, Timothy, reprove, rebuke. That is what is stated. And the word reprove here has to do with the convicting of sin. Right? So, preach and expose sin. Sometimes we are not aware that there are sins in our life. The pastor's duty is to expose, right, these things. Right, before the congregation, look, these are the various issues, these are the various problems that we have in our life. And we need to repent of these things. Otherwise, there may be consequences that follow. And these otherwise, there will be consequences will follow, will be the portion of rebuke, right, to admonish. Right, so, reproof talks about the conviction of sins, exposing this sin. And if you don't want to address the sin, there will be dire consequences. That will be the judgment of God. That will be the rebuke. So there is this ministry of warning that he has to discharge. He cannot be a pastor that goes and then says, I will only want to tell you good things. Just like last time there was an advertisement of a young boy learning tennis, and he was an abject failure in tennis. And the father was there watching, and then the instructor was there complaining to the father. Now, this was for a radio station. It's actually quite a creative advertisement. I kind of like it, but in a sense, I also kind of don't like it. Because this father was down there, he's just trying to convince himself that his son is like a chief tennis champion. So when the instructor is complaining to him, in his mind, he began to censor the words. Your son is like Michael Chang, like Agassi. Actually, what the instructor was saying is he's far from this, you can forget about it, but he somehow censored all these words until you're only left with all these things that you want to hear. And the advertisement says, only hear the good things. For radio, a very creative advertisement, I must agree. But I hope that as Christians, you don't want your pastor to be like this. If you want your pastor to be like this, so that you only hear the good things, you will exactly be like verse 3. And there will be people in the congregation who are like this. There will always be. May even be here in this retreat. I want to be very frank. I do not know who among you will have itching ears. I pray there will be none. But the reality is, there will always be some. But you still reprove, you still rebuke. Then after that, as God talks about what? This is a very all-encompassing word. Right? The word where we get the word for comforter, right, in the Gospel of John, parakletos. Or parakletos. Parakletos. And Parakletos talks about somebody who goes alongside you to help you. To help you in terms of what? Right? To help you in terms of instructing you. So it has to do with, so when it comes to preaching, there must be instruction. And when it comes to preaching, there is also encouragement. Right? So that's why it's called comforter. There is encouragement. There is also comfort. There is guidance. So all these things covered by this word exhort, right? A very all-encompassing term. All these things is all drawn from God's word, right? Not from his own thoughts. It's not, I encourage you by just simply stating my own opinions. No, it must be based upon the scripture. And this must be done with all long-suffering. Long-suffering talks about all patience. So that is also the call of the pastor. He has to be, of all the people that is found in the congregation, he must be the most patient man. And that includes those who have itching ears. You must be very patient with them. William, are you called to be a pastor? I'll ask you directly here. Well, you still can. You better pray very hard. You know what is exactly God has called you to do. In a way this is humorous, but in a way this is very, very serious. You must know, right? And I think this is a very good time to know. There are a lot of things you can do for the Lord. It need not be that of a pastor. You must make sure you have the burden. But if you have the burden, you have to be prepared. You have to be very, very long-suffering. Long-suffering will mean you will probably have to take a lot of abuses from those who hear God's word. And those who, despite the preaching of God's word, will not change. And you know what is the thing that is perhaps most hard to sometimes bear? It would be those who come and then they say to you, Pastor, what a good message, what a wonderful message. And after that, after a long period of time until the person grows old, there's still no change in the person's life. No signs of life, actually. Sometimes you rather have the person to go right up to you and say, hey, I'm very angry with you, you know. Why? Because you preach this, I can't accept it. At least they are honest with you, they are angry with you. But those who go and then say, Pastor, what a wonderful message. It's preached with power, it's dynamic, I like it so much. The next thing you know, for some message, thou shalt not covered. The next thing you know, 1 week later, you find out the person succumbed to gambling. You rather the person say, I'm very angry with you, you know. Why? I just can't accept this portion of the message. Then later you discover, oh, yeah, the person is involved in gambling. So that's why the person is having trouble with this, a struggle with this. But at least you know the word of God has hit the person so that it's convicted of the sin and now the person is struggling. That's right, all long suffering. And you must be prepared that in the end, you may even be rejected by the hearers. Because did they not reject Samuel, who has been faithful in the preaching of the word? They will. But if that is the responsibility of the pastor, he has to do it. Otherwise, no revival, no quickening. And he do it with this kind of spirit, patient, praying that always with this desire and the hope that people will in the end be quickened. And he must make sure that to do it, it must be with doctrine. Now people don't like doctrine. I've already, even in this short time as a pastor, actually time flies, it's been quite a few years already, but still, I would like to regard as short time as a pastor compared to my teachers. How many times have I heard, please just tell me the application, don't teach the doctrine. I don't want to learn doctrine. This really saddens my heart a lot. Why? Because is that not what a pastor is called to do?
if you ask me not to teach you doctrine, then what am I to do when the Lord says you must preach with all doctrine? What can I do?
I can only say that in the end, I have to obey God rather than men. Because without doctrine, how can you know who God is? How can you know who you are? How can you know the truth? You cannot. That all your basis of decisions in life will be based upon your own foolish thinking. And that is death. That's why learn doctrine. Learn it well. At the end, since it's a matter of life and death, and now the pastor knows his responsibility, he must be faithful to his responsibility. Verses 3 to 5. For the time will come where they will not endure sound doctrine. See that? It's actually be surprising that people say, I don't want to hear doctrine. It's actually a very saddening thing. I do wish sometimes people will read the scriptures more carefully and hear the comments that they make themselves. Please do not teach doctrine. Is that not exactly what it says, verse 3, that the time will come where they will not endure sound doctrine? That's the very definition of itching ears, you know. I don't want to hear doctrine. And after that, they will rather, according to their own lust, in other words, I still want to continue in sin. And because I want to continue in sin, I would rather find my own teachers so that my own ears are scratched. Like, a cat wants to scratch the ears. Now, I know very well. Cat wants to scratch the ears. That's all. The cat will go to you. I'm sure we are better than cats. But that is exactly what will happen. And so, you have those who, after hearing that, no, there's a trend right now, and it's a trend in the BP church. Very serious trend. That instead of hearing the pastors whom the Lord has set over them, and they have been faithful teaching, they rather go and find other pastors. So they will come, they will call the another pastor of another church. Hello? Reverend so-and-so, I have a problem. So they discuss the problem with you. After they say, thank you very much. And then go. And the next thing you know, they will go back to the congregation and then they say, you know, pastor so-and-so says this. How come pastor says this and this? And then later on, the two pastors then find out, oops, this has happened. Actually, the two pastors, they are not against each other. In fact, they have the same view over the issue. But these with preaching ears, they were called in order to hear only the good things, get relevant quotes, and after that, to use it so that they can continue in the sin. And if they are not happy with the pastor, they go to another church and then they find another pastor, and the other pastor actually preaches the same message. Now with technology and the ease of travel, it's just too easy to switch pastors. Just go switch churches, just go around robin. It must not be like this. If you switch a church, there must only be one reason. And one reason is that the Lord has called you to that church. They can, sometimes they call you to serve in that congregation, fair enough. Of course, if a person has been called to serve in another congregation, well, go. And in fact, if the pastor is a faithful one, will be very happy. Ah, now the Lord has called you to another congregation. There is the Lord's call. You are doing the Lord's will. By all means, go. But go in order to continue to sin. That will be very, very sad. I've also experienced this before. Right? People in the congregation here who wants to sing, they go and call other pastors. Some pastors can come from other countries too. And in the end, hearing what their pastor says, the pastor has no context, no nothing, in the end make a decision and then after that continue in sin.
That is itching ears. But still, you must preach. That's why in the ending down here, right, verse 5. Watch thou in all things. The word watch here means to be sober, right? Not under the influence of wine. But in this case, is you must be spiritually sensitive in all these things. All things you start, you judge from the scripture. You must not let emotions control you, right, and to affect you in a decision. Everything must be according to God's will. And then you endure afflictions. And interestingly, this word endure afflictions not only talk about physical afflictions, but more so the afflictions of the heart. Your heart will be tried, but you must endure. Do the work of the evangelist. Continue to preach the good news of Jesus Christ. Do not stop. And the most important, make full proof of the ministry. In other words, you must fulfill it. And that's why, be faithful to your responsibility. Because if the church leader, the pastor, and of course, is joined in, burdened by also the elders, the leaders are not faithful to the responsibility. So I pray you all will understand these things, and that you all will pray for the leaders, and that you all also pray that there will be more leaders from the midst of the congregation. It's not going to just sprout out from anywhere. And especially if you're going to talk about elders, let's be very frank with everybody down here, it's going to take more than a decade. Allow me to explain why from the scriptures, because first year elder must not be a novice. And so first, they must be faithful enough, and after that, usually they come in to be a deacon. After they serve as a deacon, they need to serve for at least 2 terms. 2 terms, based upon the constitution in Tabernacle PP Church, is at least how many years? It's 6 years. That's a 3 years term. And that is minimum. Because after 6 years, this person may still not be ready yet to be an elder. And usually that's the case. It's probably going to take a generation. And I pray maybe by the time I'm still around. You do not know, the Lord can take me home anytime. If you want to know the reality, that's the reality. And where would the elders come from? And where would the wives of the elders, if they have wives, come from? Maybe Santia, maybe God willing, from other faithful congregations, they come in. But some of you here may be elders' wife. I pray that you also understand the burden of your husbands. You come from here. Here. So you all must know these things well. Not only because there's pastor here to know pastor and to help and to pray for him, so that he may be faithful to his task, and in the end, there may be life in the church. Pray for the elder too. Remember to pray for Elder John. But also, I pray that there will be something in due time. Now, of course, it's early because you are showering Ebenezer. If any of you come and say, I want to be an elder now, sorry. No. But in due time, I pray there will be some here who will know this passage well, who the Lord will call and have the burden, and will come in because the church needs such leaders. And know your responsibility. Pray that the Lord will grant you grace to be faithful towards all the way to the end. And prayerfully, with such leaders, the church will grow to be strong in the testimony of the Lord. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee, O Lord, for the scriptures which you have given to us. And Lord, we pray that thou will firstly help the leaders of the church, and not just this church, but the Bible-believing churches all around us, to know their duties well and to be faithful even in the discharge of these responsibilities, for it is a matter of life and death. Help also the members to understand these responsibilities well, that they may know what exactly they should look for in one who has been called to be a pastor or an elder. And we ask, Father, that you will also, in the midst of thy people, yea, even in this generation, to help them to grow up well, and that there will be some, O Lord, who will grow up to even be involved in the burden of the leadership of the church, that the testimony of this church may continue to be a lively one for the Lord Jesus Christ. So please hear our humble cry, O Lord, as we commit all these things into thy loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.